This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Peter Vanderlinde joins me live in studio. He was the subject of a recent cover story in The Hook, online at readthehook.com. And I'll just read, Peter, from the very first part of this article. It says, "Why is the Maine local trash authority suing the man who has offered a solution for the local waste disposal problem? And why is that man paying investigators to find out what words are spoken at the entrance booth of the authority's favorite trash station?" What a mess, and no pun intended. But I'm glad you're here to help us clear it up from your perspective. And thank you for being here.
Well, thank you.
Peter Vanderlinde, I got to ask you first, is it Dutch?
Very.
Very.
About as Dutch as it gets.
So who came off the boat? Was it your parents or your grandparents? Or way
back.
Okay. So give us a Peter Vanderlinde 101, where you're from and what brought you to Central Virginia.
A brief retrospective, thinking in the context of garbage, or trying to, always trying to keep things 25 words or less. Child of the 60s, crazy as it sounds, seatbelts hadn't been invented. People threw garbage out of their cars. I mean, it's like strange. Then I thought, this is weird. On through in the Merchant Marines, captain of a supertanker, we legally discharged garbage and oil in the ocean. And then it just kept going forward as a builder for decades. We defoliated lots. Subsequently, I started a dumpster business, and I would go dumpster diving, and I was just this whole sort of common thread of I was appalled at the waste that I was not only surrounded by, but was participating in terms of generating it.
So yeah. So those are your big orange, big. What do you call them? What is the name of those?
Dumpsters.
Big dumpsters, orange dumpsters. We have one in the parking lot right outside this building, and I'm sure folks have seen them around town. I got to ask you, you were captain of a
supertanker?
Of a supertanker. What was your route?
All over
the world?
All over the world.
And they're allowed legally to dump a certain amount of garbage and oil?
You know, I'm not current, but when I was there, which again is everything seems to be a couple of decades ago, but that was entirely legal. And I could never quite understand the concept.
Yeah, but you had to do it. You went and did it anyway.
What you do, what you're supposed to do.
Right, right. We're talking with Peter Vanderlinde. So what brought you to, when did you come to Charlottesville?
Late 60s.
So kidding.
I've been around.
So you've seen a few changes in this town then?
Lots of changes.
Yeah. And you said you were a builder?
Builder. For, 30 years locally.
Tell me about that. Houses mostly?
All single-family, detached, Charlottesville, Albemarle. Yeah, Forest Lake, Dunlora, Still Meadow.
So people would come to you with plans or with ideas? And...
Right, or I'd speculate.
Yeah.
But all that led to this. And what this is just really born of frustration with, frankly, my own garage filling up with recyclables and honestly asking why somebody couldn't figure this out, never imagining that it would be me.
Right, right. So you have had this dumpster business where you collect trash from whether, you know, somebody like here, we're remodeling this building. They dump trash in that dumpster.
I go where I'm called.
Yeah. So and you can have it delivered and you dump it, you drop it off and people fill it up and you go back and haul it off.
Exactly. But here's the catch. Prior to opening this recycling facility, we would haul it off to the landfill. Now, I say that our landfill locally was closed in the late 90s, so indirectly we would haul it to the transfer station, which would load it in big trucks and take it to the mega landfill in Richmond. So essentially it was landfill destined.
And if I hear you right, part of your challenge is you got this dumpster business and you see all this garbage going through your business towards the dump, and you look in those dumpsters and see that they're all full of recyclables.
That's what hooked me. Never really, just in terms of the frustration with seeing where this stuff was going unnecessarily.
Right, right. So then tell us when you didn't invent this machine, we'll refer to it as the machine, but tell us what it is that has revolutionized the garbage business.
Yeah, I didn't invent it. I sort of had to partially make it up as I went along because this is a relatively new concept and there's no handbook on the subject.
Yeah.
So yes, these machines existed, but they've really only been, quote, perfected in the last 3 to 5 years.
This is a brand new thing when it comes to refuse and, throwing garbage out.
Well, to your listeners, you know, a show in recycling, oh, this ought to be a real barn burner. But the truth is, it's amazing in this respect. When you think of recycling, it's pretty boring subject. It's cardboard, mixed paper, glass bottles, all of it. But that's only 8% of the market. What's really energizing about what we're doing is this is a 100,000 square foot facility, $11 million, and it takes everything on the planet in one. This is the truly exciting part of this. The reason recycling never got off the ground, really, in terms of participation, at least realizing its full potential, is source separation. The people had to sort this stuff out, and that was crazy. It was too labor intensive. It's at the end of the day. It's the last thing anybody wants to do. So this entire facility is based on I do the grunt work, you get the glory. Whether it's a dumpster, however, you basically sack the trash, mix it all together, and it's deposited. Here's the way to...
So this machine, we're talking with Peter Vandalinde, the machine does the separation of the recyclables for you.
It is
so
the
people don't have to do that anymore.
Precisely. It is the landfill of the future. All of the labor intensity of separation is over. Just like a landfill, you dump it at the facility or our dumpsters or any, you can bring it there yourself. You dump it, you leave. At that point, this incredible machine with things like Eagle Vision, lasers, air knives, trommels, finger screens, de-stoners.
I don't even know what those are.
Yeah, all kinds of bells and whistles by engineers far smarter than I am, created this machine that sorts this garbage into many, many separate, distinct, high-quality, recyclable materials that we then send to end users. Really, the mantra of what we do, our single mission statement, is diversion. We divert garbage away from the landfill. In fact, we divert 95% of the twisted, mixed up garbage that we receive is recovered and reused and recycled.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff.
And this might perhaps, I'm speculating, have something to do with the fact that the Ravana Solid Waste Authority, who is owned and operated our landfill / dump / transfer station, they're suing you.
And that is singularly the reason. If you just, again, a quick historical perspective.
Let's do that when we get back.
Okay.
We're going to take a break for local news and weather, and when we get back, we'll pick it up right there. We'll talk about what's been the reaction to this and how this whole process actually works, and we'll get your perspective on the fact that you are being sued about this whole thing. It's a very interesting story. And the phone lines are open if you've got a comment or a question. 977-1070. We're talking with Peter Vandalinde. A quick break. We're back in just a few minutes. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Let's rejoin our conversation with Peter Vandalinde. He is live in studio. You've probably seen his orange dumpsters out and about around town. And that business started when? When did you start that business?
The year 2000.
2000. So you've been in the dumpster business for a long time.
Yes.
And just to recap, you saw this garbage that you were taking to the landfill full of recyclables.
Yes.
So you opened this facility, this new facility in Zion Crossroads.
Right.
Big, huge. How big is it again?
100,000 square feet.
100,000 square feet. And you buy this machine from Canada, brand new machine. It's my understanding you have the very best in the world right here in our backyard.
It is. It's the biggest and the best.
And this is a brand new machine that you just dump the garbage in it, and it separates out the recyclables.
It's a $3.6 million machine. It's 270 feet long and 50 feet high.
Is it loud?
It's like a small shopping center. Surprisingly not.
It's like something from Willy Wonka, you know?
every time I wander into the facility and I look up, and at one end, it actually catches me by surprise on a daily basis, and I see this huge, towering pile of garbage. And then I have this sort of moment of realization that that will be turned, 95% of it will be turned into recyclable materials to be reused in secondary markets. It's very exciting.
Amazing. So garbage goes in this machine.
Yes.
And only 5% of garbage comes out, 95% of recyclables come out.
Right.
People don't have to separate out their recyclables anymore.
No.
No more newspapers here, just tin cans here, glass here. Just, we don't have to do that anymore.
Just sack the trash. This thing will process 100 tons an hour. It's fed by two track hose and a front-end loader, as fast as you can throw it in.
And is anybody else doing this in America?
There are others. It is definitely an emerging technology. I never imagined that it existed. I just sort of circumstantially stumbled into it.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. We're talking with Peter van der Linde, and I would agree with you. We were talking during the break, and I would agree with you. It's hard not to say that this is the future of waste disposal, and that the landfill, you know, burying our garbage is sort of this old model. Tell me now, let's talk about the fact that you are being sued by the Ravana Solid Waste Authority. So the folks here who run our dump, which used to be a dump, used to be a landfill, they closed it down. Now they just, you take it there and then they haul it to a dump in a landfill in Richmond. So it's still a dump. They're still burying this stuff somewhere.
Exactly.
When did you find out they were suing you?
Actually, it was January of 2008. I was delivered a $3.5 million lawsuit suggesting that I had not paid for some tonnage. Every ton that the Ravana Service Authority directs to the landfill. Remember, that's what the Service Authority does. That's what they always did. They ran the landfill. The landfill closed. And when it did, their revenue stream was potentially going to be cut off. So what they did, since they didn't handle trash anymore, is for every ton of trash that originated in Charlottesville, Albemarle, they tacked on a $16 surcharge. And so that was fine. So they maintained their income stream.
Just to handle that garbage and send it to Richmond.
No, they didn't even handle it. They don't do anything. It's called an administrative fee. It's actually directed to Allied Waste in Zion Crossroads, coincidentally, right next door to the recycling facility. So you've got these two sort of opposing business models. One,
your recycling facility.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're really the gatekeeper to their facility just by coincidence. But you've got this alliance between the Ravana Service Authority and Allied Waste. And what Allied Waste does, their sole purpose is to fill their mega landfills in Richmond. So that's what, and for every ton that's directed through Allied Waste to the landfills, the Ravana Service Authority picks up $16 for every ton. So that was all going fine until I came along. I am not subject to paying anything for every ton of waste from Charlottesville, Albemarle, because mine isn't waste, mine's recycling. Well, so for every ton that I diverted away from Ravana / Allied, Ravana lost $16. They're none too happy about it. So this is really a struggle for self-preservation of the authority, Ravana Authority.
Yeah. In your words, the old model, the old way of doing
precisely.
Business, this quasi-governmental body, they're trying to, in your words that you were telling me during the break, they're trying to figure out a way to keep their business model alive.
Period, to maintain their income stream. So that's the challenge. It's really just the horse and buggy giving way to the motor car. I mean, it's pure and simple, but we are the landfill of the future. It must happen. It is happening. And so it will fade away. I mean, but they're not going down without a fight.
So the folks who run landfills, you know, the things that we all grew up with that we're used to, and, you know, the Ravana Solid Waste Authority is the local manifestation of what I'm talking about. They're threatened by your business model.
Life-threatening, period. Because so far, we just process 50% of the waste stream, which is, I'm trying not to do a bunch of acronyms and buzzwords, I hate that, but basically all, right now we're doing construction, demolition debris from remodeling, renovations, and new construction, commercial, residential, and curbside. The only other piece of the puzzle to complete the other 50% of the waste stream is what you would call ooey-gooey garbage, household trash, and we'll be permitted to do that within 30, 45 days. And when that occurs, we will take the other half of the waste stream diverted away from the landfills into recycling.
So folks can have their garbage picked up at their house and taken to your facility and know that 95% of the stuff they throw out will be recycled,
exactly.
And they don't have to separate out one thing.
Nothing. Just sack the trash.
Peter, that's amazing.
It is exciting. They don't have to know anything. They don't have to do anything. This facility will basically process it for them. And here's the best part. For a lot less money, how can I recycle and save people?
Well, you're getting money on the front end and the back end.
Well, that's why this business model will guaranteed ultimately succeed over the landfill business model. These are the only two ways you can get rid of a bag of trash. Throw it in the dump and or recycle it.
Yeah.
So the difference between the two competing business models is the old model is take it to the dump, or in this case, the transfer terminal station.
Which still goes to Richmond and gets buried in the ground. Yeah.
Same thing, but since we closed our landfill, we don't have one, so this is the next best thing. And so here we are, two facilities sitting right next door to each other. They charge $62 per ton. I charge $44. The reason that I can do that and they can't is we each get paid to receive the trash by the ton. The difference is the landfill model has to pay to get rid of it at the dump. It costs money to throw this garbage in the dump in Richmond. And the difference is I get paid to get rid of my trash because I turn it into recyclables and sell it. So that's why I can provide direct savings to the customers and really compete very effectively with the landfill model.
It seems to me, from what I know about this, this is such a classic example of the private entrepreneur beating government at their own game, but they're not going to go quietly into that good night.
No, they're going kicking and screaming, but it is an exercise in futility.
Yeah. An amazing. So the folks will be able very soon, but you don't have haulers that come to somebody's house and pick up like a garbage can.
Other than the dumpsters for construction and demolition debris, no. But when we are open in about 45 days, then I will just suggest to the haulers at great savings that they redirect their trash away from the landfill and to us. So everybody wins. It gets recycled. Everybody saves at least a third. And what's not to like?
So you want to check with your local haulers that are coming to your house to get your garbage, whether it's, you know, Dixon at my house,
sure,
or
sure,
BFI or whoever, that they go to yours.
Sure.
Because then you know not only is it cheaper for them, you know all your stuff's being recycled.
Sure, and I'll footnote this whole thing with one other scenario that I have pitched till the cows come home and nobody's listening, at least not at Ravana. The McIntyre model, where everybody takes, really does a great job of bringing all their stuff, all their, quote, curbside, their commingled recyclables, what we traditionally think of as recycling. They bring it down there and they put it in all the different containers. And the service authority, the taxpayer, is paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in deficit annually to do that. I have, on a consistent basis over a multi-year period, offered to rent-free to put, instead of at one facility, a staff facility, limited service hours, a lot of effort in separating everything, I've offered to provide free at 20 locations, convenient locations around the county, no staff, unmanned, 24/7, where people can conveniently put their stuff all mixed together. And it's fallen on deaf ears. So that McIntyre model, the same as the landfill remodel, it's a dead model. It makes no sense to anybody.
For people to take their recycles in their car to this one facility in town and sit there walking around from dumpster to dumpster, separating it out themselves, when you could have just a series of big orange dumpsters there.
No, one dumpster in 20 different locations, more convenient to the people's neighborhoods or wherever they live.
And you don't separate out one thing, you just throw the garbage
in there.
Remember,
I only need one dumpster to do what all of McIntyre does. Remember, it's the difficulty of communicating what we do is the simplicity of it, because me included, we're so ingrained in this separation mentality and that you can't sort of, well, I'll give you a great example. We built at our facility a recycling center like McIntyre for people to free bring all of their commingled stuff.
Yeah.
And we put on the side of the dumpster, one dumpster, all the things it could throw in it. People would pull up, well-meaning, read the sign, and drive away. Others would come in, throw up their hands, and some even complained to the county that we weren't fulfilling our obligation in providing this collection center. So what I did to put them more at ease is I put multiple containers on the site, and they then felt very comfortable going through the exercise of separation. Then I picked up those separated containers, took them in the facility, and dumped them all together. It's a transition thing.
Well, Peter, we have learned that recycling means you have to separate stuff out at your house at McIntyre.
It's tough to break free.
And you're telling us now, from now on, we don't have to do that.
The nightmare.
Leave it all together.
It's over. So I can do 20 McIntyres at no cost, open 24/7, no staff, no separation, free to the county.
Yeah, of course, because you're going to get money for what you collect.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a brilliant business model.
But
I can see where the government or the Havana Solid Waste Authority would be afraid. That they must be terrified.
They're terrified.
Because you've figured out a way. You're the next generation.
As you suggested at the beginning, no credit to me, it's a better mousetrap.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. My guest is Peter Van der Linde. You got a question, it's 977-1070. Give us a call and let us know if you got a question or a comment. So what's the latest on the lawsuit? What's the latest development?
Stone cold silence. They're pushing ahead. It'll cost them a minimum of $350,000 of taxpayer money to pursue this dry hole. It's incomprehensible what they're doing. I'll spend at least $250,000. We'll get to court sometime mid next year, and it's absurd. I don't know what else I've.
And so they're using taxpayer money to fight this new business model that this private entrepreneur developed that does it much cheaper and much better than they do.
Just to save what they call their service contribution fee. That's the technical name for the $16 a ton that they get for trash originating in Charlottesville, Albemarle that goes to the landfill. That's the fight.
It's what they skim off the top before they send it to Richmond to be buried.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And I don't. I don't. That's why.
Well, you don't have to.
I don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, you're recycling 95% of that stuff and turning around and selling it to somebody who can use it.
Exactly.
Amazing. We're talking with Peter Van der Linde. Raymond is on line one. Raymond, you're on with Pete. Go right ahead.
Hey, Peter. Ray. This is Ray from Laughlin's. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Ray. I built Laughlin's.
Yeah, I know. You built my house. Hey, thinking as you were talking about the different dumpsters that you had to put out. Why didn't you just put a big sign on the one dumpster and says, we will sort it for you?
It's a great suggestion. First, I was worried you were calling on a warranty issue on your home. But, but anyway, now that we got past
1985,
that.
1985, I think that's up.
Okay. Excellent idea. That may be the key to communicate the simplicity of what we're doing.
And it really does speak to what this machine does. It sorts the recyclables for you.
And every time however I'm trying to communicate that, different people, the response is, I think, understandably, no way. No way. But
I think it's a neat idea, Peter, and congratulations on it.
Ray, thank you for the call.
Take care.
Yeah, thanks. It's a real feel-good thing. I mean, I get up, I know I'm really doing something worthwhile.
We had a caller off the air who said there's a place down in Nelson County that separates out recyclables. What's the difference? I'm assuming you know about this.
Yeah, no, there are different surrounding counties have basically McIntyre models. They have places where they receive it, but all commingled. It's not, I mean, I'm sorry, not commingled. It's all separated, not commingled.
Yeah. This is really amazing. And it also, I think about the money, the taxpayer money that is spent on recycling. I mean, they lose money. That's the dirty little secret. It makes everybody feel good, but we lose money doing it as a community. Whether, you know, picture that truck driving around with the different compartments on it, you know.
It's unnecessary.
We're talking with Peter Van der Linde, and we had another caller off the air who wanted to know, how can they get their stuff to you? I mean, you know, people are tired of going to McIntyre and spending that time separating the stuff out. It's very difficult to do that. How can they get stuff to you? I guess they need to talk to their hauler and say, I want you to go to Pete's place.
Well, as far as the sort of typical traditional recycling, I keep calling it the McIntyre model to give you a sense of its cardboard, mixed paper, cans, bottles, glass, all that kind of thing. That is really just a county situation. I mean, you can bring stuff to us. You can bring your construction demolition debris to us. You can rent our dumpsters. You can direct your garbage hauler to us. We're still 45 days away from that. But as far as your typical, quote, separated McIntyre-type recyclables, that's the pitch I've got to get through to the county, is I've got to spread these cans around, and then you can just, instead of taking it to McIntyre, take it to...
Just look for the orange dumpster or wherever it is.
Precisely. There's a can up in the Sam's parking lot that'll give you a sense of what I'm talking about. It's a single, standalone can. For some reason, the service authority has that can up there, and you can throw stuff in there, any person in the public. So what I'm suggesting to be accommodative of what your listener is asking about is, if you can scatter those cans around, then the nearest one to you, you can just throw your stuff in there and end of the story.
So you're offering to put out your cans all over Central Virginia at no cost to the taxpayer.
Right.
We will be able to bring our garbage if we want, dump it in there, not separate it out. We do not have to separate it out anymore.
Exactly.
And you'll go and separate it for us.
Exactly.
I'm dumbfounded. This is pretty amazing. We're talking with Peter Vandalinda. It really is amazing. And I want to just thank you. As just a local citizen entrepreneur, it just is a brilliant business model. And I'm proud that we have something like that here in our community. And I hope that, you know, local government realizes that this is the next thing.
I think sooner or later, they have to yield to it.
Peter Vandalinda. And again, your facility is located in Zion's Crossroads?
Downtown Zion Crossroads.
So if somebody wanted to get their stuff to you, they could just come out there and...
Just head 250 East, and you can't miss it.
And the website, again, is...
Is VandalindaRecycling.com.
There you go. Pete, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.